How many of you know that you've ever had your worst weekend and your best weekend all at the same time? Anybody ever had that? It's like, I mean, it is bad and it is good. I want you to know that is this weekend. I mean, as far as us as believers, we had our worst weekend. I mean, the Savior, the Messiah is dead. All that we had hoped for is gone. But then on the third day, something amazing happened, and it was Jesus Christ getting out of a tomb. That is what we're here to celebrate this morning, that Jesus has a victorious life for you. Look at somebody this morning and say, he's got a good life for you. We like to talk a lot in this church, so you're going to have to just bear with us. You came today, so you got to go with us this morning, all right? You don't have to come back next week. We would love for you to, but you know, you got to talk. We got to talk to each other this morning. How many of you know family talk? Amen. We're family. I know you just showed up, but we accept anybody. I know you're the crazy cousin, but we want you. We'll take you. We know that Jesus is good, and he can change a crazy cousin, and he can turn him into a disciple. Jesus had some crazy people. He had Peter, and I mean, let's just say he had Judas. I mean, we got some crazy people in the family, but you're okay. You're in good company this morning. It's okay if you are the crazy aunt. We love you. Aunt. You know, y'all ain't come from that church, huh? You know what I'm talking about, aunt. Yeah, you know. Aunt. No, aunt. Aunt. Hey. So verse 5, it says this. The women were terrified. Come on, how many of you know that Jesus shows up and speaks to women? Oh, I thought the women would be a little bit more excited about that. Come on, how many of you know that Jesus? All right, here we go. You know, it was women who Jesus showed up to first. And I'm just saying, y'all got something special. And it's not Mother's Day. I'm just telling you how it is, right? So the women, they were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. One reason, because they saw huge angels. I mean, rightly so. But it says, then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I want you to know this morning that you may be looking in the wrong area. You may be trying to find Jesus. You may be trying to find something, and you're in the wrong area. You're looking in the wrong place. And Jesus, I want you to know, is alive, and he's living, and he's here this morning. And you may be searching somewhere else outside of that, but what you need to do is you need to find Jesus Christ, because it's there in that place is where you find hope. How many know that disappointment starts by looking in the wrong place to find hope? A lot of times our lives are full of disappointment simply because we're looking in the wrong area for a place of hope. And the only place that hell holds hope is Jesus Christ. And so we find ourselves constantly looking for a relationship, looking for a paycheck, looking for another person and trying to get to this place in our lives that we think this will fulfill that void on the inside of me. And there is one thing that will fulfill the void in your life, and it is in Jesus Christ. Now, I know all of us know that, right? My question is, then why are you not searching for him? Because a lot of us would say, oh, I know that's where it's at, but we keep finding ourselves in disappointment over and over and over again, and it's because we've lost hope, if we're honest. We've lost hope that Jesus is what he says he is. Look at somebody and say, he is what he says he is. He is what he says he is. And this morning, my challenge for you is to stop looking elsewhere. It's a temptation for me. It's a temptation for you to look outside of him to find hope. I remember when I was single. And I was looking, they didn't have the apps where you could just get on in dating scenes. I mean, I would have been on them. Because sometimes we'll do whatever we can. Sometimes we'll do whatever we can to find hope. But hope is not in an app. Hope is not in anything else. It's at the side of a tomb where you find out your Jesus got up. It's where you find out that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I want you to know this morning that you can find hope this morning. That this sermon was written for you if you are in disappointment, in fear, in doubt, in hopelessness. That you were on God's mind this week. That God stirred in my heart to speak to you this morning. To build faith back in you this morning. And it starts in verse 13. And it says this. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And I want to hit on something this morning, that in the scripture, it classifies these men who were leaving as followers. Because I know for me that there's been times in my life when I left and I considered myself a loser and a leaver, but Jesus declares them to be called followers. That no matter how far you get away from Jesus, Jesus still considers you a follower, and he's waiting for you just to find your way back to the place that he called you. Amen. This morning, I want you to know that there is no level of disappointment that the cross can't comfort. I know that a lot of us are looking for comfort in all the wrong places this morning, but I want you to know that the cross is the only thing that can cover and comfort you. That it's the only thing that can remove disappointment. Why does it remove disappointment? Because when you understand the cross, you understand the resurrection. See, if we were just having a cross this morning, I would be in my funeral suit. But I want you to know that that funeral is over because Jesus got out of the tomb on the third day. And this is why I can have comfort, because whatever I may be facing, as bad as it may look, just like the cross, it's never as bad as it looks. Jesus is always able to step into your world and change and rearrange a situation. But you've got to allow him to come in to your world. See, they were called followers, not because of what they were doing, but because of what he believed in them. See, the resurrection is Christ's way of revealing your worth. So many of us, we don't think we're worthy of the cross. And if you weren't worth the cross, Jesus would have never gotten on it. That I know from you, I mean, if you're like me, I can think you died. I mean, I can think Jesus died for you on the cross. But I have a real big challenge when it's that he died for me on the cross. See, we can always put value on other people, but when it comes to ourselves, we try to devalue what God values. And if you don't understand the cross right, and if you don't understand the resurrection, you lose the fact that Jesus gave the cross. He went into the tomb so he could reveal your worth. He said, so that I could have many sons and daughters. And you are considered this morning his sons and his daughters. Come on, that's incredible news this morning. See, the resurrection, it reassures, if you have lost your way, he will find you. That is the power of the cross, is that you may have lost your way, but the resurrection reassures you, I'm on my way to find you. I'm in pursuit of you. See, disappointment, it'll move you away from your pain. Have you ever been in pain? Have you ever been in something that disappointed you? You don't hang around there very often. You tend to try to move away from it and act as if it never happened. And so what happens is, as we do that, sometimes the answer is waiting even in the middle of disappointment. That's what these men were dealing with. They had been following Jesus. Now, keep in mind, these men, these followers, are people who have seen Lazarus get up out of a tomb. These are followers who have seen 5,000 people, men and women, 15,000, be fed with a few loaves of fish and changed in full, and they have leftovers. These are the same followers that have seen Jesus lay hands on a man who was blind and be recovered. These are the same men who have seen men and women who had deaf ears be able to hear, the same ones that when he touched them that had leprosy, it left. See, I think that a lot of times we can allow what we've seen to become an expectation on our own lives. And we have an expectation that supersedes what Jesus is ready to do in our lives. The only thing that Jesus is required to do is to live out his word through your life. But sometimes we have Jesus's word and our expectations. Jesus' word and our expectations. And anytime we do that, we set ourselves up for disappointment. We say, Jesus, this is what I need you to do. Save me and bless me. Save me and get me married. Save me and give me 20 kids. Duggers. Save me and do whatever. Save me and do this, right? And so everything is contingent on God. I will serve you if you do this for me. And that's where these men had gotten to this place where they were so disappointed that they could have easily ran to the tomb to see if it was empty, but they ran to a town. And it's so easy for us, because we're so disappointed, to take the long run and to go 7 miles out of the way when they could have walked a two-minute walk to the tomb. And this is what happens in our lives, is that we will run from something that's so close to be able to get an answer from Jesus, and we will run away from it to try to replace it. And that's what this story is about. As many of us, we've been running. We've gotten disappointed. We've been let down. We've been discouraged. We've been full of fear and worry and anxiety, thinking that Jesus isn't coming. Jesus, I've been following you for 3.5 years, and you told me that you would come through. You told me that you would save me. You told me my marriage wouldn't fall apart. You told me that they wouldn't die. You told me, and you could go on and on with the list of things that you and I have. But I want you to know that the story is not over. I know that the enemy, I know that disappointment is the loudest voice right now. I know that discouragement is the loudest voice right now. But I know for 3 days, Jesus was silent. Jesus was quiet. And a lot of times we can allow silence to be Jesus not doing anything in our lives. We can think that Jesus isn't doing anything. It's silent. God, why won't you hear me, God? Why won't you listen to me, God? Why? I've been praying for this answer, God. I've been praying and I've been praying and I've been praying. God, I saw you do those things for them. Why won't you do them for me? And Jesus understands your pain. Jesus understands your disappointment this morning. And that is why Jesus shows up on the road. Because he understands where you're at this morning. He understands what you've gone through. He understands the disappointment. And he's willing to reveal himself in a different way than maybe you anticipated. See, running from your questions, that's what we tend to do, right? But I want you to know that that will never give you the answers to the pain in your heart. Running from the one that has the answers is exactly what the enemy would love for you to do. The enemy would love for you to run away from the tomb into another town so you could be obscured, so you could be hidden, so you could not have to voice the things that you're believing him for. See, it's way easier to just not show up at church, because if I don't show up, no one will ask me how I'm doing. So many of you this morning, it took everything in you to show up for Easter, because you're hurting, you're broken, and things didn't work out like you thought they would. But Jesus is on your road. See, separation, it only moves you farther away from your miracle. See, that's what they did, is these men had been so disappointed that they ran to another town. And all they did was move away from the miracle. Because the miracle was right there. They could have seen angels speak to them. They could have seen the Messiah speak to them. But they ran. And that's where we find ourselves. See, what may be happening externally doesn't equal what's happening eternally. See, what maybe is happening at the tomb doesn't really mean what's been happening in the kingdom. Doesn't mean what's been happening in the 3 days that we've just been sitting with this external pain of disappointment and all of the things that are going on in our lives. Understand this morning that whatever is happening to you externally does not mean Jesus is not aware and caring. Verse 15, it says this: as they walked and talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe you don't know the full aspect of the story, but see, these were followers. These weren't the 11 and the 12 disciples, the pastors, the spiritual leaders in your life that you look up to. These weren't these men. These were the men that work a 9-to-5 job and have kids and are married and are struggling to survive through college. These are those followers. These are the ones that live everyday life trying to serve Jesus, trying to live this life for him. That's these people. And it's interesting to me that if I'm Jesus and I've died, I've come out of the tomb, that I've got these 12 men that I've been investing in, that it to me, it's amazing to me that Jesus shows up to two followers, not 11 disciples. And what is the point of all that? Why would Jesus show up to two followers? Why would he show up to two people who've just been hanging out following him and not the 11 disciples that he's been pouring his life in and expecting them to turn the world upside down? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus died and he was put in a tomb and he was resurrected for relationship. And he wanted them to know that no matter how far you may be out on your road, I'm going after you because I have a desire to be in a relationship with you, that you are never too far gone, that I will meet you right where you're at, and I will help you live and see the beauty of your life. You see, the resurrection isn't based on your belief in him. See, I know that the resurrection isn't, it's not what you thought it was. It's not your belief in him, it's his faith in you. See, Jesus has more faith in you than you may even realize. He's championing you. He's believing in you. And he's willing to walk and meet you on a road called Emmaus so that you may have an encounter and a relationship with him. See, Jesus died to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And that is hard for us to believe because sometimes even in the natural, we struggle having relationships. We struggle to connect to people. We struggle to be able to carry on a conversation. And we think, these people won't like me. Why would Jesus? And we could so easily shrink the Messiah down to our concept of man. We can so easily shrink down who he is and what he desires for us in our lives based on what we've done and experienced in this life. See, God's goodness will find you in your brokenness. These men were as broken as they had ever been, as disappointed as they had ever been, as let down as they had ever been. Yet Jesus doesn't blame them and come and say, I can't believe. He comes in the middle of their brokenness. And I want you to know this morning that many of you in this place came in with your pretty Easter clothes on, but you are broken on the inside. You are broken by what's happened in your life. You are broken by the disappointment and the situations in your life. And I want you to know that God's goodness comes and meets you where you're at. Because that is what a resurrected king does. He didn't come and begin to rebuke them and ridicule them and say, I can't believe you couldn't hang on and tarry. Why would you leave? Why wouldn't you just go to the tomb to see if I was there? He showed up where they were. And I want you to know that Jesus will show up where you are, that he will meet you in the middle of your pain and the middle of your uncertainty and the middle of the things and the questions. Jesus is not afraid of your questions. Jesus is not afraid of your pain, and Jesus is not afraid of the fact that you left him because he understands the power of the resurrection. See, there may be a journey back to where you were. You know that where you once were with Jesus? You know that place where you once were passionate, where you once were willing to do whatever it took for other people to experience this love? There may be a journey back to there. There may be some things you've got to walk through, but this is the cool thing. Jesus will meet you right where you're at. Jesus will meet you right in the middle of wherever you are, not where you need to be. I know that messes with our theology, right? That messes with us because no one else in the world can love us like that. Well, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he did what he did, because no one else could meet what you needed. This is good news. The fact that Jesus loved us right where we were at. And the fact that this is right where we're at, is some of us are right where we're at, is leaving Jesus. Is walking down a road discussing, I can't believe, man, we thought all of the things that we saw, he was for sure him. I mean, I had a bet that that was him. I would have put anything on it. And there are things in our lives that we thought this is God, this is it. We live in disappointment day after day, reminded of something that we think that Jesus didn't come through on. But can I tell you, Jesus isn't finished. Your life is not over, and your life can begin again. See, sorrow works to eliminate hope of a Savior from your life. Sorrow right now has been at work at many of us in here this morning to try to devalue what Jesus did for us. It works hard to try to say, hey, you deserve to be in this place. You should be here. You should be depressed. You should be on meds. You should be here. You should be wherever you're at. And sorrow tries to connect to your pain and come along in agreement with you. I mean, these two men were walking and they were encouraging each other in their discouragement. See, we always got a friend to discourage us, but we rarely have friends to encourage us. But I want you to know that Jesus needs to show up and on the scene. Everything changes when Jesus shows up on the road. Verse 21, well, I'll read in verse 19, says, what things, Jesus asked, the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to condemn to death, and they crucified him. Let me just say this, that there are religious things that will try to destroy and take away the Savior of Jesus Christ in your life. That there are people, there are things that will come against you, and they will try to crucify what Jesus is doing in your life. The faith and the things that you believe, there will be these things that come in, and these thoughts and these people, and they will try to crucify the fact that you know who he is. They will work at it. And then he goes on and it says, but our leading priests and the other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. If you've ever been there, I know that there have been times in my life where I've been believing God for something and hopelessness hit me out of nowhere. And see, hopelessness will turn the Messiah into a man. Hopelessness will take away the divinity of who Jesus is in our lives. Hopelessness comes to try to strip the Messiah into a man. Say, he can't do what you need. He can't meet that need. But the resurrection turned a man into the Messiah. Now, I want you to know this morning that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your situation may say. I want you to know that the resurrection turned what everybody else thought was an ordinary man into the Messiah. And I want you to know that you have a Messiah on the road walking with you and talking to you and encouraging you and trying to build this relationship with you. That he wants to be a part of your journey. He wants to be a part of your walk. He wants to be a part of your life. And then it goes on, and I'm going to skip through some of it, but to pick up in verse 28, and it says this, by this time they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of their journey. How many of you know that that sometimes our lives can feel like it's at the end. Like, I've got nothing else to give. I've got nowhere else to go. I've got all my hope is lost. I don't have any other thing I can do. This is the end. This is where my life is going to be. See, this is where the enemy thrives, is in trying to end your journey. But the resurrection doesn't allow your journey to end until Jesus says it's over. See, the tomb is an illustration of a journey that was supposed to end, but Jesus got up out of a tomb and he allowed the journey to begin again. And I want you to know that your journey may have ended and it may have ended again and started and ended again and started. And as long as Jesus Christ is on the throne, your life and your journey is never over. That you can begin again. I want you to look at somebody this morning and say, you can begin again. I want you just to prophesy into somebody's life. You can begin again. Because that is why Jesus, y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all are too quiet. See, Jesus reveals himself the moment you make room for him. It says in verse 28, it says, by this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. I want you to know that, isn't that interesting that Jesus was going to move on, but there was something in them that said, you can't leave. That you've got to stay with us. You've got to be a part of our lives. And in this moment, they could have said, hey, see you later. It was a good conversation. Thanks. Or they could have said, no, you can't leave my life. You can't move on. You can't keep going. You have to stay. And this is what happened. It says, but they begged him. I want you to know that you can beg him, but you don't need to. You can beg him, but he'll stay with you if you just ask. And I know that we've gotten into the place sometimes that we get into this begging and asking and seeking. And that's part of scripture, but I believe that the other part is simply opening the door. Allowing him to come in, inviting him in to your story. It says, so he went home with them. Why? Because that was his whole intention, was to be with them. It was never to condemn them. It was never to tell them what they're doing wrong and that you haven't been to church in so long. I can't believe you even came for Easter. Because Jesus knew you would be here this morning. And he knew you needed to hear that he was willing to walk the road and take the journey. Because he knew you were in desperate need of him. And it says this. So they went home and with him and at they sat down to eat. He took the bread and he blessed it. The Bible portrays Jesus as bread. And his body was bread. It's interesting that in here it wasn't. And as Jesus cut his steak, broke bread. It's real simple. And I think that we try to overanalyze Jesus. Jesus is real simple. He loves you and he wants a relationship with you. It says, they broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. At that moment, he disappeared. Isn't that just like Jesus? Hey, here I am, boom. But how many of you know that once Jesus reveals himself, there's a faith in you to believe he did what he said he would do. He got up out of a tomb. He is alive, and I believe him, and I will serve him, and I will do whatever he asks me to do, that he did what he said he would do, so I will serve him all the days of my life. If you would stand with me this morning. Look, I understand that your hope was crucified. I understand that your hope was buried with the weight of whatever that may be looking like. But I want you to know that everything changes when your hope is resurrected. Everything changes when your hope is resurrected. That what may be put in a tomb and what may be buried and what may be discarded, I want you to know that Jesus got up. That there is hope for you this morning. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, that Jesus got out of the tomb so that you could have resurrection life, so that you could not end your journey now, but you could live a life with Jesus Christ. Come on, church. That is why Jesus got out of the tomb. That is why Jesus did what he did. I close with this. Look, I understand that the road back to from Emmaus to Jerusalem is 7 miles. And it's not how far you've gone. It's not that you've maybe gone 7 miles out of the way. It's about how quick you're willing to return. What's the point? The point is this, is it doesn't matter how far you've gotten from Jesus. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, the mistakes you've made, the choices you've done, the thoughts you think. What matters is how quick this morning will you return back to a Jesus that loves you? How quick will you return back to a place that Jesus is willing to embrace you and love you for who you are, not who you're going to be. For who you are right now in this moment. Come on, will you return back to Jerusalem? Jerusalem is waiting for you. The disciples are waiting for you. The church is waiting for you. This morning, I want you to know that there is hope, that it doesn't matter how far you've journeyed off the track. It doesn't matter where you're at. What matters is that you've heard the fact that Jesus got out of a tomb, that he has a resurrection life, that he wants to have a relationship with you, that he shows up on a road with 2 men after being resurrected, that his heart was, I've got to find these 2 men who've left. I've got to find them, and I've got to show them that I love them, that I'm for them, that they have a purpose in life. This morning, I feel that there are some people who've walked away. You've been on your road to Emmaus. You've been on your journey away from the miracle. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to embrace the resurrected King Jesus Christ. That this morning that you would be able to say, yes, I've walked away in disappointment and discouragement. I've walked away in being mad. If I'm just honest, I've been so mad. But this morning I see the genuine care and love that he has for me. I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to a Jesus who said yes to you. If that's you this morning, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you an opportunity. But not just you, because I believe there are some people in here who've said yes to Jesus, but they never fully committed their lives to Christ. That this morning you say, okay, I see what you did, Jesus, and I'm on my way back. Turning around, and I'm headed back. If that's you this morning, I want you to boldly just slip your hand up real quick, and you can set it right back down. Thank you for that hand. Come on, all over. Hands all over. That's awesome. That's awesome. Jesus loves you right where you're at. Father, you see every hand raised. God, you see their heart more than anything. Lord, I pray that they saw your heart today. So, Father, I thank you this morning, God, for each and every one of their lives. God, I thank you for each and every decision that will be made to serve you. And, God, that their journey starts right now. If that's you this morning, You'd say, that was me. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Come on, pray it boldly. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I was a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, rose again on the third day. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to reveal the destiny and the purpose that you have for my life. I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if we can give them a hand this morning. We thank you. We thank you. If you raised your hand this morning, I want you to know that we've got something we want to give you. If you go to the back, some of the ushers will have something for you. It's a book, and it will help you learn to live out this thing we call Jesus and the salvation that you've just said yes to. How many of you know it's a journey, and we need people? That's why the church exists, because we need people. You need someone to help walk alongside of you, to encourage and build you up. We pray that you have an incredible Resurrection Sunday, and go be the light.